point, it's one of those deals I thought I kind of understood, but I truly didn't quite get it all. It takes some time when you first become a Christian, and especially when you come out from being a Baptist, okay, to try to make that change and understood more about the gospel and the purity of it. But then, as far as I'm concerned, as I've gotten older, when I read Isaiah 40, 30 through 31, I really get the verse. And some of you who are older probably understand what I'm talking about in the aspect that though you used to grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, when you're a young man, you make the blunder out there, young women too, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. And I think that's very fitting in the aspect as we learn more about the scripture, about what is happening, and you can start putting all the pieces that, together in Old Testament and New Testament and so forth. I think what starts happening there, we don't get near as weary being a Christian. Because we can understand when questions come up, we can answer those questions, and we can have a better ability visiting and talking with people about the Lord. And I think that's where that verse all gets kind of tied up in there. And I may be wet behind my ears on that, but that's just going by what from my life going through and everything. You know, every zealous Christian eventually faces circumstances that threaten his or her ability to continue on. You get to a point sometimes, a person, and they just say, I just give up. And I think that's what happens to some of our brethren. They get to a point, they just give up. And all of a sudden, they wander away, and we don't see them anymore. We question, we try to talk to them. They don't want to talk to you. They just want to be left alone and basically become part of the world then. When stress and strain of fighting for what's right seems to exhaust you, burnout is likely on the horizon. Now, what is right in this context means being a Christian and standing up for the Lord. Now, other people may put this... I don't think we have anybody in here that's trying to lead one of these groups to have a protest someplace and that they think they're right about a certain thing type situation on that. But I'm talking about as far as being a Christian, they just get tired of trying to always do the right thing because they're being tempted so much. Burnout could be on the horizon. Burnout is a gradual process by which a person detaches from work or meaningful relationships in response to prolonged stress. Now, stress can come within church, okay? It can come within family. It can come from work, work stress. It can come from a lot of different outside sources. Somebody has a heavy foot and they've gotten four tickets and they're gonna take your driver's license away. That's a lot of stress. But you could have fixed that stress by taking your foot off the gas pedal, you know? So a lot of times people get in a bind with a lot of heavy stress that they have put on themselves or caused many times in that aspect. And they have to deal with those type of things. Nowhere in the Bible is there more vividly shown than in the life of Elijah. Now you probably noticed through this over the last couple months, you know, we've kind of been going through some different Bible characters and how they reacted to certain things as we've been throwing chunks of wood on the fire, so to speak, for being our zeal and being zealous for the Lord. In 1 Kings 19, as most people read 1 Kings 19, that was on your sheet. Everybody get a worksheet. Okay. That's the whole work. Xerxes pretty much about 1 Kings chapter 19. Jezebel vowed to kill Elijah within 24 hours. The prophet was exhausted. He was discouraged and very afraid, so he began running for his life. Now, Ed, you just walked in. I am approaching the subject of burnout tonight, okay? So Ed and I, we've heard burnout a whole bunch in the last few months, so I'm just deciding we approach it head on tonight. The prophet was exhausted. He was discouraged. He was very afraid, so he began running for his life. Then began a 40-day period. You know, that 40-day stuff shows up a lot in Scripture. 40-day period where Elijah experienced a brief but a powerful interactions with God. So we're going to try to learn some actions that every Christian can take to recover from some burnout. And I may be missing it. There may be more that we could add to it, but as we go through this study, we may finish it tonight, we may not. So 1 Kings 19 is what we're going to be looking at. But we're going to start off a little bit. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah experienced a moment of pure victory. Okay? Y'all remember in chapter 18 what happened? Y'all remember what happened in 18? God sent fire from heaven to devour the sacrifice, the water, and the altar at Mount Carmel. The prophets of Baal were utterly defeated at that time period. And after such a great victory, you know, you might would think that Elijah, man, he should be on cloud nine, that we say, to have rejoiced in the streets of Samaria and praising God's victory and his power and his might. But instead Elijah, his hard-fought struggle against idol worship left him exhausted, or modern-day terms called burnout, okay? He was afraid, 19:3. 19:4, he doubted his ability to even continue. In 19:5-8, he was exhausted. In 19:10, he felt frustrated and all alone. And that's what happens. A lot of times people get into a total exhaustion. They will withdraw themselves from other people. And they make themselves have that loneliness instead of doing what? Well, what should a person do during this time period? Seek God first, and then seek others to help. Now, that didn't help much with Job, did it? Because his friends didn't really help him. But normally, if you have good Christian friends, they're going to try to help you out some. But the main thing is to seek God. It's common, very common now, for zealous servants like Elijah to battle these feelings of burnout. The truth is, only strong and determined people who refuse to give up on the important goals that they've set ever face a burnout. Others give up long before things get this tough. 1 Kings 19:1-10 talks about that. And then over in 2 Corinthians 4:20 and 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. But we have this treasure in earthen containers, so that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may always also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal So death works in us, but life in you. It's a continual battle. Continual battle. Elijah was facing difficult circumstances, but rather than giving up, he turned to God for relief. Thank goodness. He turned to God for relief. When you feel overloaded, anybody here feel overloaded right now? Anybody feel overloaded? You know, that's a question like you said, oh, I am, but I'm not going to raise my hand. You know, I understand that part. So sometimes I get kind of personal. I think I know y'all, but I don't. But we got a couple of visitors in here tonight. So y'all may not quite understand me, but I'm kind of personal sometimes. We all can have that at times, okay? But look back to God. And that's what Elijah did. He turned to God for relief. When you're feeling overloaded, don't try to handle everything alone. If you're married, talk to your wife or your husband, okay? They're there to help. Being married is a teamwork type situation. Don, did I see a hand, or do you have both hands up? Oh, the one after Mount Carmel, he was afraid. He doubted his ability to continue. He was exhausted, and he felt frustrated and all alone. Okay, got it? Yeah, go ahead. Speak up. Speak up. You're exactly correct, Clint. You mean food? You tend to eat more. Uh-huh. Well, it's comfort food. You're going to eat a lot of comfort food all of a sudden. And that happens, but that happens on the other extreme. Some people start starving themselves. It can go one way or the other way on that. And when you start talking about food, but everybody has their thing. Just like a person who is tempted about alcohol. Oh, they have quit it. They've been doing great, been sober for years, and they get in a lot of stress. Satan's going to tempt them, and all of a sudden they fall and they start drinking again, or a smoker, let's say, or something like that. So those things will happen. And Clint really hit on, I'm fixing to roll into that, about that all this we're talking about is when Satan is going to have a heyday with your life, because he is going to throw all the temptations out at you all of a sudden type thing. You may get upset with a family member. They may have posted, because I hear this through the office a lot, somebody come in, they're all upset. As soon as I walk in a room, I can look at a person a lot of times and say, okay, what's going on? And all of a sudden, tears. And I think, oh no, fixing to blow my schedule. But understand, they needed to talk. I can remember a lady, it's been probably several months ago, came in and I saw she was distressed. I finally got her on the table, go through, do a treatment. And boo-hooed, cried. I didn't talk. She just talked the whole time. I got her up and she sat down for a minute and she said, "Oh, that was the best treatment you ever did." All I did was listen. That's what she needed. And that's sometimes what we need, is somebody to listen to us. What do we not commonly call that? Blowing off steam. Okay? That's just kind of a common thing. Okay? And you might think, well, Christians shouldn't get like that. But believe me, Satan will, he's tempting us. He'll get us worked up and upset like that. And we just have to be so careful with that. And Elijah is an example about this. Elijah was, you know, he'd already onto his ropes, even though he was such a great prophet and had done so much. Okay? But yet he even got in trouble. So for sure we can get in trouble too on that, along that line. No matter what talent you have or what deeds you've performed in the past, okay, you must decide to depend on God. Your recovery begins when you accept the help and resources he provides. That's over in Proverbs 3:5-6. I think we probably all know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Satan is trying to get you off the path. Okay? He's trying to make you wander and get off that path going to heaven. He wants you to get off that path and go to hell with him. So we have to keep our focus. And it's so easy when we get under a lot of stress or burnout to stumble and fall and get off, fall on the wrong trail. Okay? Keep that in mind. Elijah's obstacles. Burnout is more than just feeling stressed out. You know, people, we all have stress. We live in a society in here with stress. You know, if you go up to some of these little towns up in East Texas, we stop traveling, you stop at some little town, you get gas. Everything seems to function in slow motion. Some of those little towns are so laid back, they don't get in a hurry. You know, why you want to hurry about this or that? You know, you go in and the attendant, you know, they want to sit there and have a 10-minute conversation. Oh, where are you from? Where are you traveling to? And all that. Hey, I just want to pay for my gas so I can go, you know. But we live in a hurry-up world here. You can't get around that. Get on the freeway, okay? You get out some of these little country towns, and I have to remind myself, okay, well, I'm in a country town. They're all going to drive 30 miles an hour as if they're totally sightseeing today, okay? It's just one of those situations. We have to keep that in mind. It's a fundamental breakdown in the heat, the fuel, and the environment. You know, remember we've studied the heat source and the fuel source and the environment source that's needed for a spiritual fire to keep our zeal up. Elijah was a good man. There's no doubt about that. These three core components were under attack. Elijah's heat problem... As a prophet, Elijah had witnessed God's direct actions. I mean, he had actually watched this in many miraculous events. He was there when the fire came down from heaven. What would we think if we were out someplace and we saw fire come down from heaven? Uh-oh, Cindy, what do you think? I think most of us would, you know. What's the first thing we're going to think? Aliens are coming, you know, because we hear all that type of stuff nowadays. But Elijah saw this stuff, okay? He was a witness to it. I mean, it's just hard to really understand some of that type of stuff. But he was overlooking God's ability, to work behind the scenes in a more subtle ways. God is working for us all the time. How is he working for us now, this day and time? Who's working for us right now? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's out there helping us. We talk about guardian angels. We've heard that before and all that. There's a lot of providence of God. There's a lot of things about providence of God that occurs and happens that we'll never, ever understand. And sometimes we're fortunate because we realize or think back later that this and this and this and this happened. Wow. Somebody's working behind the scenes. Okay? But we kind of brush it off a lot of times. But God is working behind the scenes with us all the time. And he's doing it through the Holy Spirit, helping us out in so many different aspects. Okay? I'll let y'all soak that up for a minute. Elijah had a fuel problem. His zeal was also dwindling from a lack of several essential fuels. Jezebel's vow. Remember old Jezebel? Okay, she got pretty upset with him. She vowed to kill him, and it shattered his courage. He thought she was more powerful than God, evidently, that she was going to kill him. So for 40 days, he went walking. It drained his energy. Elijah's prayer for God to take his life reveals a lack of diligence. Anytime a person gets to a point in their life that they start having suicidal thoughts, they are in a very deep low at that point. Now, on the other side, they could be on a very traumatic high because they've taken some drugs that would alter all kind of brain chemistries to get them thinking all these type of thoughts. It could go that way. We know that for a fact, too. So when you hear somebody on those type of terms, take it for real. They're in a low a lot of times. Okay? We just have to always keep a lot of things in mind here. But for 40 days, he had been walking and drained his energy. Elijah's prayer for God to take his life reveals that lack of diligence. Traveling to Mount Horeb left him in the wrong place for the next act of service. With so little fuel, it's no surprise his fire was burning out. His body was exhausted, totally exhausted. Ever been to the point you're so exhausted you just didn't think you could get up? You didn't even want to eat because you were just so exhausted. Or you're so dehydrated. Dehydration gets all involved with that too. If his heat and fuel problems weren't bad enough, Elijah had an environmental problem to face too. His zeal was suffocating from lack of good relationships. He didn't have a lot of people around him for a support group. That is one thing that's great by having a church family as a support group, okay? It's a great situation. More so than I ever realized. There's been studies, and I probably pointed this out because it still amazes me, but there's a lot of studies out there that shows that Christians, okay, believers, live longer than non-believers. By how many years do they estimate? 5 to 7 years longer. Because they have a support group. And by being a Christian, you're not at the beer joints where you get in a fight and somebody cuts your throat for no reason because they're drunk or shot or any of that type of stuff. You're more apt to not be tempted by the devil to be in a situation where you can have a bad accident or something like that. So all that gets involved there too. But it's the support group. It is the support group that helps so much. And the support group helps to do what? Lower our stress level. It helps lower our stress. We may not realize it, but it helps lower our stress level. Let's see, 2 years ago, every year I have to do classes, okay, for my license renewal. And I'm always looking to see what, if they got some new different classes. That year they had some classes on research. And so I went and sat in these research classes. Well, one of the things that came up, long-range study, they have now determined, and this is like 50,000 people they'd studied over a 20-year period of time, okay? But they have now determined that the number one cause of illness is what? Stress. Stress causes different reactions in our body, the stress hormones, and our body starts reacting to it, and you have more illness, more problems, etc. So what is better to lower that than having a good support group, a good church group that all think along the same lines and all want to get to heaven? It's going to help lower that stress level some, okay? And therefore, we're healthier. Just automatically that way. So there's a lot of factors getting involved. Am I getting a little too deep for y'all tonight? I mean, I sit in these classes sometimes, and I'm thinking a different term than all these other docs sitting around me. it's just amazing those type of things when you start applying it all. God's working behind the scenes on that. He knew from the beginning that we needed to be together, to edify each other, to help keep that stress down so we will be healthier and we will help each other and we're going to live longer and have more of a chance to influence others in our life. I mean, there's a whole cycle there that God set in place that we really never think about. I'm just throwing some of those thoughts out here this evening. Yes, sir. Oh, that's correct. We sometimes are our own worst enemy by getting stressed out and upset about something we have no control over. And that is so true. But how do we stop that? Boy, it is tough. It is tough. Scripture tells us, don't worry. What's one of the first things we do? Worry. Why do you think that scripture's in there telling us don't worry? God made us. He knows we're going to worry, But we don't need to worry. Put our faith and confidence in Him. Pray. Okay? What, Clint? That's correct. That is correct. Elijah felt completely alone and rep- representing the Lord, verse 10 and 19. Okay? He didn't have a lot of people around him to help him out. The Baal worshipers came together to represent their false god, and he didn't realize that. So what happens when you consider the problems of Elijah's spiritual fire? It's easy to see why he was crying out to God for help. Now, the good thing and the great thing is that he went to God for help. Okay? When you face a crisis, examine yourself and identify what is lacking in your heat and your fuel and your environment as well. And then you'll be more prepared to help address the inner problems and not just the symptoms. You know, that's one of those things that you always have to look at the main, what is causing the symptoms. That's one thing as docs we have to try to look at. What is causing the symptoms, you know, all these symptoms, the cause of it type situation. You can treat the symptom, but if you haven't helped the cause, the symptoms are going to just keep coming back, okay? Beating the burnout in God's way, God knows your needs, and he is eager to help you recover. When Elijah arrived at Mount Horeb, his zeal was rekindled through the five actions that you can do also. Spend time alone with God. Spend time alone with God. Okay? 1 Kings 19:9. When your heat is dwindling, you must come back to the fire of the Lord. Okay? When our heat sore, when we get down low, and there's just a little flicker of a flame going, go to the Lord. He's going to restart that fire, get things heated up again for you, and get your zeal, rolling again. So we've got to do that. Taking time to read, to meditate, to pray, to fast, restores your peace and fires up your faith. You ever thought the reason why there's different things in the scripture about fasting? You ever thought about that? Carla hit on it a while ago. You start worrying, you tend to want to eat more. You fast, helps take your mind to a different place. You ever thought about that? Anybody ever thought about that? Okay? There's a lot of factors on that aspect. And it helps keep us more focused then. I see I'm being waved at in the back, so we're going to start right there next time. And y'all have a great week. Lord willing, see everybody on Sunday. Have a great rest of the week. Not stressing.